Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, well, that's where our heads should be, dwelling on the blessings around us, even if sometimes they're disguised as misfortune or buried in beneath our thoughts. St. Paul says to think about the things that lift up our thoughts and our hearts to God's goodness. Thank you, St. Paul, for reminding us to always seek the light. That is what we try to do on Call Me Catholic each week. We think about and talk about all the good stuff. I am Peggy Normanton, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, an hour of hopefully uplifting conversation that is intended to affirm, explore, and celebrate our Catholic identity so we can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh, yeah, sure, you can call me Catholic. Good to see you, Jimmy G. Jimmy G, as you know, is my engineer and chief fact checker.
Well, it's good to be seen.
You know, this is a pretty easy fact-checking job, don't you think? I mean, there's got to be tougher ones out there.
Well,
Hollywood Press, New York Times.
I take copious notes because I do have to check every single fact that you talk about on the air.
Oh, that me? I'm the one whose facts you're checking. I thought you were checking our guest facts.
Yeah, well, I got to do that too.
Well, this is a pretty easy one. That's why I think you like baseball, because baseball is all about facts and figures. There's very little, give for fake news in baseball, don't you
Absolutely.
Think?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. There's box scores.
Now, I'd like to point out that at this moment on the show, you can watch Call Me Catholic, the real thing, in real time, or even later. You can watch it later on our Facebook page.
How can you watch a radio show?
Well, they're going to find out. Fun? It's not the most scintillating thing to watch on television, but we do have a live Facebook feed, and you can go to facebook.com/callmecatholic, and you will see a live stream of our show as it is broadcast from our intimate little studio high atop the Tower of Hope.
That's right.
On the beautiful Christ Cathedral campus here in the Diocese of Orange, Orange County, California. I wish we could see you too. But you can represent yourselves by making comments or posting questions on our Facebook live stream, and we'll try to address them.
Love getting those comments. Yes.
Yeah, that's
do.
How we can include you in our mm-hmm. broadcast. And you will have a chance to call us as well and join our conversation. So if you want to write down the number now, the number is 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. But we're going to hold you to the topic, though. So you might want to wait to call until you hear what we're discussing today. And what are we discussing today, Jimmy G? Did you ask me that?
I just leave that to you to just kind of bring it up. You surprised me. So.
Well, I'm glad you asked. So I've mentioned in these previous weeks how much I really love this period in our liturgical calendar when we're hearing all about the Acts of the Apostles, which is really the history book of the church, as our pastor likes to say. And just yesterday, in the scripture reading for Friday, we heard about the conversion of Paul. And I think that is one of the most profound and dramatic narratives in scripture. Just knocked off his horse. So it sort of illustrates that, man, when God calls you, he's not kidding around. And it's very hard to turn and run from such a commanding announcement. But, I do wonder sometimes whether Paul had the inclination to run, to turn around at any point, when his sight was taken from him and he was thinking, what am I doing? Where am I going? Must have been very, very terrifying.
Run, Forrest, run.
Because, as much promise, run, Forrest, run. I'm sure that was going on in his head. But as much promise as the good news of Christianity held for the Gentiles and the Jews and the Greeks, it was not an easy lifestyle to adopt. I mean, they had to make sacrifices. They had to make changes in their routine and their thinking to redirect their lives, to get it on the roadmap to salvation. Hmm. And it's not that our faith is laden with burdensome rules and regulations, but it does demand a self-discipline. And we have to be master of our faculties to achieve what we're destined for. Coaching, that through coaching. Any sport requires discipline in order to get on the scoreboard.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Your baseball players, football players, tennis players. It's discipline that achieves results.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Discipline is a very fruitful component of our Catholic faith formation. Laziness yields nothing in any context. So self-mastery is crucial to achieving holiness. Okay. Our guest today is going to share a fascinating and persuasive argument for raising our young children with more discipline in order to achieve their greater calling. Sister John Ellen Turner is the principal of St. Catherine's Academy in Anaheim, California. It's a school established in 1889 by the Dominican Sisters of Mission San Jose. St. Catherine's history has evolved over the 100 and some years that they have been in existence to meet the changing sociological needs of its region. But military tradition has been a hallmark of its educational style, and we're going to hear how the Dominican sisters have used that formula to achieve great success with their students. So Sister John Ellen, up in a few minutes. But we're going to first, we always have our Call Me Catholic Countdown, and today, Jimmy G, I invite you to a dueling Call Me Catholic Countdown.
Good thing I came prepared.
This is like Hamilton. I contest you to a duel, my friend. Okay, so today our theme is discipline, which is a very powerful building block of faith formation. So I thought I would ask you, Jimmy G, and I would like to share with you as well, what are the top five rules we remember growing up with? The top five rules of our childhood or of our household. Are you good for that?
Yes. I think I kind of aim more towards the comical side of my memories.
Well, I mean, childhood yields lots of comedy in our heads and in our imaginations. You know, it's funny. I was telling my husband last night, I said, you know, I think for our Call Me Catholic Countdown, I want to do the top five rules we grew up with in our house. So he said, oh, I remember some of mine. Now he grew up, he was the oldest of eight children.
Mm.
And the first one he came up with, he said, I remember that on Thursday afternoons, my mother would go around to all our bedrooms, and he said if there were any clothes on the floor, she would pick them up, and she said she would send them to the Indians. Now, they grew up in Southern California, but his mother grew up in Omaha, and there were lots of Native Americans that lived in that region.
Ah.
And so her mother, Jim, my husband's grandmother, would say that to her children. If there are any clothes on the floor, I will pick them up and send them to the local Native reservation where they need them.
Interesting.
Yeah. So he had lots of rules. Another rule was the kids got up and had to make the coffee and bring it to the parents in bed.
Oh, wow.
I know. That's kind of interesting.
Yes, I
should have adopted that one.
Yes.
Didn't fly in my household. Okay, so you ready to go? Here's our top five childhood rules that we grew up with.
The Call Me Catholic Countdown.
You want to go first or you don't want me to go first? You go first.
Sure,
What's your number five?
Well, obviously, getting to Mass every single weekend. It was a no-brainer. It was a must-do, period.
Was there a particular Mass that you always attended, and did you go together?
When I was very young, we went together. But as I got older, it was more just kind of every man for himself.
But it was just kind of an unspoken known that
absolutely.
You did that. Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
So my number five would be to make our beds. Now, I don't remember that being a hard and fast rule that they came down on, but it was something we did. Hmm. I mean, you would never leave your room in the morning without first making your bed.
Hmm.
And I think it gave you a sense of order, a sense of accomplishment right off. And it gave the house, you know, a certain groomed look that my mother liked. Yeah, so making our beds was absolutely an imperative. And I don't think people do that so much today. I mean, I think we've lost that one.
I am in agreement with you.
It's funny, my youngest son, he would make his bed as soon as he got home from school. He didn't like making it in the morning. He likes making it when he gets home from school. But he did make it, and then pretty soon he'd get right back into it again. Okay, so what's your number four?
Let's see. I would say, obviously get good grades at school.
Okay.
I think it was kind of a good sort of pressure from the standpoint of, you know, my folks really sacrificed to send us to Catholic school. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make sure that I played my part, did my role to be worthy of that. So, you know.
Well, good for that. And apparently that paid off. You're a very successful man in broadcast now.
Yeah.
You get good grades now.
Yeah.
Okay, my number four would be grammar. My mother was a stickler for grammar and for using the English language properly. Now, my father took quite a bit of license with the English language. He had his own little infraspeak. But my mom couldn't stand the idioms and sort of lazy habits, especially in adolescence, that creep into your dialogue. Like, when I was young, the expression was, you know. Well, you know, Jimmy said this, and you know, I went to the store and I saw, you know, and my mother said, no, I don't know, and drop that out of your dialogue with me.
Interesting.
So I mean, it was good. It paid off, because look at where I am today.
Well, you know, I edit a lot of radio programs, and just about everyone who comes in here has that little thing that they fall to.
Yeah, we all have our little lazy habits and speak.
Right.
Okay, got it. All right, number three.
Again, just another one of the basics. We pretty much had to clean our plates, you know, for dinner time, including eating the vegetables that I wasn't too happy about, like lima beans. I was not a fan of lima beans.
No, and growing up, we ate a lot of canned vegetables, so those were even harder to make. So speaking of lima beans, That's a tough.
They were not my favorite.
That's a tough sell.
Any way, shape, or form.
Well, because our household was mostly women, I don't remember the rule of having to clean your plate. But I do remember, because we were women, my mother and dad both enforced a certain code of dress. So we dressed for occasions. We went on a vacation and we dressed in dresses and hosiery to get onto the airplane. Things have come a long way since then. But my mom especially really enforced a certain amount of self-respect through the way you dress and the way you present yourself. And she is a shining example of that today at 94. She still presents herself beautifully. That is a way of showing respect to people, and in return, people treat you with respect that way.
Amen.
Okay, number two?
I would say basically, you know, helping out with chores. I would mow the lawn. I would vacuum. But the one chore that
the vacuumer.
I vacuumed. One that I just really, really didn't like doing was the dishes. I just was not a dish person. So when I was a kid.
Did you have a dishwasher in your house?
No, we did not.
So, you know, and when you have to do the dishes, you always want to be the dryer. I mean, you always want to be the washer, because it's fun to get into the suds and then you hand off the dish to somebody else to dry. And that's the harder job, I think.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. And once again, growing up in a house of girls, that was just kind of a given. But I would say number two for us was we respected religious in our lives. The nuns, the priests in our life, we showed them respect. Even if they, you know, I went through grammar school and high school with the Sisters of St. Joseph of Carondelet. I was the youngest. And there were times when I think the sisters took issue with things that were not an issue for my mom, but she respected that and she never argued with it. My dad had several very good friends who were priests. Whenever they came to the house, we showed them respect and we treated them with great hospitality. So respecting religious has been a tradition and an important code of behavior that was enforced at our house. Okay, what's your number one?
My last one. This is where it kind of falls into the comical category, but this is pretty dead serious in my house.
Okay.
When someone's taking a shower, don't flush the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
And
you don't want
why.
That hot stream of water.
Exactly. That was my house.
Yeah. I think the Partridge family had that issue, too.
Oh, really?
Because there were like eight kids there, and they all shared one bathroom.
We had to announce when we were going to go take a shower. I'm taking a shower.
But just don't flush.
Yes.
Okay. That's cute, Jimmy G. All right. Our number one, I'm going to go with your number five, was we always went to church on Sunday. That was a given. We always went as a family for as long as I can remember. And we'd go out to breakfast afterwards. There was a coffee shop nearby, Pan's, and we'd have two eggs, potatoes, toast, and jelly. Mm. Eggs, well done. But no, going to Mass was absolutely a tradition, whether we were traveling, whether we were in another place, whether it was inconvenient for our calendar or social calendar. No, I mean, going to church was always a mandate.
Yep.
So there you have it. Jimmy G and my top five disciplines we grew up with. You grew up with some rules, didn't you? Sure you did. You can share it with us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/callmecatholic. Follow us, like us, leave us a comment. We're happy for your input. And in return, we keep you apprised of show happenings and pics and posts and always responses to your comments. And don't forget, you can watch us too right now on our Facebook page. Sister John Ellen Turner, principal of St. Catherine's Academy in Anaheim, California, is up next to talk with us about employing military disciplines to educate young boys with very, very impressive results. So stay with us. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Exploring the perils and blessings of embracing a Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Well, hey there. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Call Me Catholic on this Saturday of the third week of Easter. I am your host, Peggy Normandin, and tomorrow begins the fourth week of Easter. The Gospel this Sunday paints the penetrating portrait of Jesus as the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. You know, we're all sheep sometimes, following the call of modernity and popularity. Often we're following the sheep in wolf's clothing. That's the wolf in sheep's clothing, isn't it? I got that expression wrong.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
That would be very effective.
I'll check the facts on that.
The sheep in wolf's clothing. He could get some people. Hey, how do we stay strong so we're not prey to the deception and the false gods of our culture? One word, my friends, discipline. Our guest today knows something of that subject. Sister John Ellen Turner is the principal and administrator of St. Catherine's Academy here in Anaheim, California. St. Catherine's has a distinguished history. It was established in 1889 by the Dominican Sisters of San Jose, who continue to own and operate the school and have grown it into a most impressive and unique elementary school for boys that employs military disciplines, K through eighth grade. So, Sister John Ellen, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thank you so much. Thanks for inviting me. I'm happy to be with you.
Hey, so do you have anything to add to our, since you run a boys academy with military traditions, do you have anything to add to our rules that you grew up with?
Oh, I do. I have a few. I could identify with most of yours, but I think my favorite was, I don't know if it was favorite at the time, but my dad used to want me to be self-disciplined and self-responsible. And so he would not give me money for my grades on my report card. He wouldn't give me an allowance because he said that I wasn't going to be paid for doing things around the house. That was my job. So I think that's where I come from. And I'm so grateful to my parents because I wasn't at the time, but now I realize what it means to be self-disciplined. And that's really what we try to do with our boys at St. Catharines.
Well, let's go into the history of St. Catharines because this has got to be one of the oldest schools in California, if not the oldest. 1889?
1889. I know it's the oldest in Orange County. I haven't done any research on the other.
Well, we only became a state in 1850, I think.
Yes.
So,
uh-huh.
I mean, it was really in early formation stages of and really early Orange County. I mean, Orange County was established right after that.
Right. And we were formed as an orphanage. Mm. Our sisters were called out from New York, and we took on an orphanage in San Francisco, and then our foundress, Mother Pia, moved to Oregon, California, Arizona, Mexico, and back to Germany. And all of those places had some orphanage part of them. We were an orphanage through the 1940s, and then we still have a resident program. Boys can live there for 5 days a week or 7 days, which they live all year. But it's not an orphanage.
Okay. So, by the way, listeners, we are speaking with Sister John Ellen Turner from St. Catharines Academy, very, very unique boys' school here in Orange County that employs military disciplines for their educational success. If you would like to join the conversation, give us a call. I'm sure Sister John Ellen would love to hear your experiences or take your comments and questions. The number is 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. So, Sister John Ellen, you say that these nuns came out from the East Coast, three nuns.
Yes.
They were young nuns.
Yeah, it's 17, 18, and 21.
17, 18, and 21 get on the train for this wild new frontier called California.
Right.
How did they know what to do and how to start all this?
That's why there's a God in our lives, let me tell you, Peggy.
Yes.
They landed and they got off the train in San Francisco. They were escorted to kind of a basement area of a parish and they lived there and they became teachers of little children. And it, you know, when you talk about called to be Catholic, you know, it's, that's what every morning I think we all wake up and say, Lord, this isn't about us. It's about you. And so do with me what you want. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is. We've been raised that way in our congregation to let the Lord take over.
And it's amazing what he can achieve with that kind of a humble, open heart. So St. Catharines Academy, established in 1889, started out as a boys' orphanage.
Yes.
And then evolved into a school for young boys exclusively that uses and borrows the military tradition in its style of education.
Right.
So explain how that works, Sister.
Let me do one correction. It's not your fault, Peggy. We were really founded as a girls' school.
Okay.
It was a day school. And
well, you've come a long way.
I know. And girls could live there. And then World War I came around. There were so many boy babies that were orphans. So then we wouldn't take boys and girls together. So we took the boys around the turn of the century, the 20th century.
Okay. Okay, I stand corrected.
Okay. No, I just wanted to be sure that you knew that part. Okay. And I forget your question.
Oh, well, so what does the school look like? How, if I walked onto the campus, would I see the military trappings right away?
I think you would. It's built around that. We have highlighted it a bit with different colors now, so it doesn't look quite so military-ish. But our military tradition we're not a military school, Peggy, as I'd said. We're military tradition. So the boys march. The boys wear a wonderful uniform. They have three different uniforms they wear for various occasions.
With the little ties.
They have a tie. Every day they wear a tie in class. And so we teach them to be proud of who they are and to be the best person they can, to be who God meant them to be, as St. Catherine of Siena said. And they try that. They become, they're part of companies. There's four companies, Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta. Mm-hmm. And they are responsible for everyone in that company. So they are really the discipliners of each other. And they bring out that discipline in each other. So if someone is falling off a bit, it's going to pull the company down. So they get after them and they help them come up. They help them with their studies, whatever. So it's an incredible program, Peggy and Jimmy, to see. it happens immediately. You walk onto that campus. I hope both of you come and visit us. You walk onto the campus and you feel different.
Mm.
And I think it's part of the 129 years we've been there with all of our sisters, hundreds. I think we're up to almost, it's just under 500 sisters have been there over these years.
Wow.
And I know they lived there when they go to heaven. I know the Lord lets them come back and visit us because you feel that spirit. And the boys do too. So we call out of them. We ask them questions like, how did you learn from this? What are you going to do differently next time? How are you not going to make this mistake? And it's built on St. Dominic's model for the Dominican Order, which is 801 years old right now. And the foundation is truth. And so everything in our school works from truth.
How does that look in kindergarten? So is it the way the classroom is ordered? I mean, is it different, interpreted differently for kindergartners? And then when you take the eighth graders where you are sending them out into the world at that point?
Right. Great question. We have transitional kinder through eighth grade. TK, K, one and two are not part of the military tradition.
Oh, okay. All right.
We start the military tradition in grade three, but TK, K, one and two want to be part of the military tradition. So every morning, the colonel, who's in charge of our military tradition, lines them up and they start chanting as they walk across the blacktop and march. And I tell the big boys, if I see one smile, they are in trouble because they want so badly to be like the big boys.
Yeah.
So it starts a bit, but it's not the same thing. You know, but they're getting part of that. They want to be proud too, and they want to be good. And so it starts early.
Well, and at the very early stages, I know this from having raised three sons, they're a little squirrely, and it's kind of hard to sort of harness that too rigidly when they're in those very, very early years of,
And you know, that's important for our listeners to hear too. I think people think, why would I send a kindergartner to a school with a military tradition? It's just a great place, you know, and, it's open for all the different boys that we have. We're very differentiated in our education and we take boys where they are and we move them forward.
Well, what does your average profile student look like? Do parents send their sons there for discipline because they are undisciplined? Do they send them there because they want them to get into the military, eventually? You know, what are some of the motives for why parents, and grandparents send their children there?
You know, boys and girls learn very differently. And if I opened your brain and Jimmy's brain.
Oh, please don't.
If I opened them in front of you, they're not wired the same. They're different. Mm-hmm. And so we women are all out there. We try every possible option. We want to do everything possible. And men are different and boys are different. So boys need to be directed. And that's the structure part of our school. So in teaching, my teachers can teach to the boys' brain. So they'll let the boys know what is expected right away. And they're fine. The boys are fine with that. And then they move forward. So, yes, we have boys that parents want to have a stronger discipline, a structure. We have boys that have two deep-seated problems. We can't always help them.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't do that. But we have kids that have four boys were accepted into Servite with scholarships last year. One $10,000 a year for 4 years, one $5,000 a year for 4 years.
Well, so sister, if a young boy has gone through your elementary school years with this extremely ordered and predictable environment, even a fine boys' high school like Servite is pretty undisciplined by comparison.
You know, we have a kind of a bridge that we build with the eighth graders. We started right now after
reality
Easter.
Checks.
Reality check that this is what they might find in their schools. Servite's more disciplined, I think, than some of the Catholic high schools. It's all boys, and it has a formation program of the Servite order, as we have one of the Dominican order. And Credo is theirs, truth is ours, and we have stepping stones to get there.
Nice.
So, but we have to tell the boys, if you find something that's different and difficult, then it's up to you to move forward with it.
Mm-hmm.
You take care of it. One of our boys went back to school in Mexico and was having he said, sister, they don't do things like we did. What am I going to do? And I said, you tell me. And so he went to the principal. They put him in charge of an area of the school in leadership. So we just have to encourage them. We don't want them to change the world. We want them to add to the world, to do something good for the world.
Well, that little story is an impressive testimony that young man reached back out to you and says a lot about your presence on the campus and the personal interaction that you have. So you are you're not just an isolated principal in a white tower. You are a real presence to them, which is beautiful that they felt comfortable calling you back.
Thanks. And they call other people too. We have 71 on our staff because we're so big. And large, but you know, they get the military staff part, the coaching staff, our sisters.
Do you have male instructors and coaches
in
and things?
We have male coaches and we have three in the military department. And then our maintenance, of course, our kitchen staff, all of those. We have more men than I'm used to working with in a school. So it's been good for me.
Well, but I mean, here, you're the top dog, though. Yeah. I mean, you're the commanding general.
That's what they call me.
How many stars do you have, sister, on that lapel?
Three star
general, Sister John Ellen. We love it. Well, I mean, it is kind of interesting that as a woman, you are in command of this boys' school that has the military disciplines in it.
Well, and I had to train our colonel not to call me ma'am. As I said, I'm not a ma'am. He said, sister, we do that. I said, not to me. I'm sister.
That's so cute. Sister John Ellen Turner, principal of St. Catherine's Academy for Boys here in Orange County, is going to stay with us so we can continue this really great conversation about how discipline of a military nature really equips her young students with tools for their whole life. I'd like to hear a little bit more about Sister John Ellen's story, too. If you have a comment or a question for sister, well, give us a call, and Marvelous Matt will put you right through to our studio. The number is 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. Maybe you attended a military school as a youth, or maybe you're considering sending your child or your grandchild to a school of this kind of academy. We'd like to hear from you. 714-282-6034. Lots more to come on Call Me Catholic today. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Well, a very good day to you, my friends. I am your host, Peggy Normandin, here to guide you through an hour of good talk with fine people. That's what we try to do every week on Call Me Catholic, and hopefully all this conversation is aimed at helping us become better disciples. Matthew Kelly, who's one of our really great modern evangelists, says there is no such thing as a disciple without discipline. Discipline is that quality that helps us discover and achieve the purpose that God has intended for us. And our guest today helps young boys form the habits and disciplines they need to become great men of God. Sister John Ellen Turner is the principal of St. Catherine's Academy for Boys, K through 8, here in Anaheim, California. It has a really impressive history, having been established by the Dominican Sisters of the Mission San Jose in 1889. Did I get that right, sister?
Yes, uh-huh.
Today, 1889. Today, it is one of the foremost elementary schools in the country that employs, Catholic elementary schools that employs military discipline and traditions for their education. It is really great to keep you on and continue this conversation, Sister John Ellen.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, you know, I wanted to just mention that you and Jimmy G share something. Can you guess what it is? You share a passion for something, and it's not military
activity. I think it's baseball.
I think it's baseball, too.
I saw sister's reaction.
Not just baseball, but the Dodgers.
Oh.
Jimmy, I'm sure you're Angels, right?
No.
Actually, I grew up on the Dodger Blue.
Oh, right.
I'd cheer for the Angels, too.
I knew I loved you for some reason. Yeah, Tommy Lasorda and I are good friends. So
now, how did that happen?
I met him at a Rotary Club.
Wow.
About 10 years ago. And I go over to the house and know his wife. And
no kidding.
Nice.
Why didn't you bring him with you today?
I should have. We're kind of spoiled because I just make a phone call and we get into the game and have dinner with him. And
wow. Sit
with him. Nice. Sit with him down there in those seats. I feel like I grew up with the Dodgers, and I never sat in the seats I'm sitting in now.
Wow, Jimmy G has got your number.
Wow. Very, very nice.
What is it, though, about the Dodgers and sisters? I mean, nuns love the Dodgers. Growing up, I used to see them.
Such a good team.
Yeah, said with just a little bit of bias, I think. Sister, do you have sports programs at? How important
yes,
are sports?
Very important. We've got boys, so we have to have sports. So we have football, basketball, volleyball. They play soccer on weekends. We have a swimming pool, and we have an obstacle course that was put in by Matt Trainer, my godson, who's a former Dodger.
Oh, yeah.
And Misty May Trainer, and they put an obstacle course in.
A volleyball player.
Yes, uh-huh. And so that reaches one
yeah.
side of our. We're one square block is our property, so because we have the dorms.
So you have quite a bit of property.
We do.
There
we have
in
the
Anaheim.
Dorms there, wow. And we have a field and a gym and all of that. So yeah, it's a well, you know, the boys that live there, the 7-day residents that live there throughout the year, it's their home.
Yeah.
And the 5-day residence, it's everybody's home, really.
So, sister, do you get some international students?
We do. We have boys from Mexico, about 5 different states in Mexico, China, different parts of China,
wow.
Korea, Ghana this year, Europe, Russia, Canada.
That is so impressive.
Canadian boy. And different parts of the United States. I think the East Coast in the United States maybe tends more towards boarding
yes.
and residencies for students rather than the West Coast. I don't think we grew up with that.
We didn't grow up with that. You know, even on the East Coast, they send their kids away for camp all summer. Mm-hmm. You know, and here we don't do that on the
I
West
wish
Coast.
The West Coast could see what who we are because it,
yeah, you're kind of a well-kept secret out here.
Well, we try not to be. I do everything except spin an arrow in the middle of the harbor.
Oh, please don't do that. Come back. We'll do a regular promo okay. for you here on Call Me Catholic.
Good,
hey, sister, we have a caller from Kansas.
Was in Kansas. He came from Kansas.
Is this what city in Kansas, Lori?
Hi, hello. I'm just right outside of Topeka.
Oh, okay.
Topeka, oh, Lori, I don't know where that. My dad was from Hoxie. That's like the northwest corner.
Yes, yes, western, over by Colorado.
Yeah, they didn't have any zip codes or addresses or anything. They just had a box number, I think.
Put everything in one box, found your own stuff. Hey, well, is everything up to date in Kansas City, Lori?
Well, that's pretty good.
Well, see, I'm out of the metro area.
Okay.
We're kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
Topeka, okay.
But you know what? I'm very, very intrigued, sister, by your story. I didn't know this school existed, and I
there
have six children. I've mm-hmm. had three children graduate from boarding school back in New York.
Oh, my.
Uh-huh. And so I am, like, without being next to you, I am high-fiving you, sister.
Oh, thank you, Lori.
No, because, yeah. Well, number one, how many enrollment, what is your enrollment for the boys?
We're 170.
Cadets.
Okay. Cadets, uh-huh. And our class sizes are, the most is 18 or 19. Most of them are smaller than that. We have two fifths. Next year we'll have 2 sixths. We have 2 sevenths, and we have 2 eighths.
Wow!
You know what, sister? I don't know if the rest of the world understands this, but I'm one of 10 children from Southern California, from Ventura County.
Oh my! Good for you.
Seven brothers. But you know what? One thing the world is lacking is men, and they need education that you are providing to give them that strong backbone to lead our country and not to be wimps and coddled and pampered. I mean, people wonder why women are, you know, taking the strong role, which I'm not against women working. I'm not against women standing up and doing what they need to do. But men just aren't filling the shoes. I mean, men are not stepping up to the plate.
Oh, Lori, you know, I think what we try to help our boys do is to take responsibility for their actions. And we always ask the question, what did you learn from this mistake? And how is it going to change? You know, we have the Dominican Foundation, and the foundation teaches us four pillars, which is community, ministry or service, study and prayer. And those boys chant them daily.
Wow.
We have a blessing of St. Dominic daily. And they know, they're asked the questions, how did you live community right now? How did this choice help you with your prayer life? And so, you know, it's just it's a well-run machine. You know, we were 129 years old last month, and so we're gearing up for our 130th birthday next year. But it's just a good place because boys can be boys, and boys are trained to be the best they can be. So they're not, sometimes you hear boys are less mature than girls. It doesn't happen in our school. There are no girls. I love girls. I'm one of them. But there are no girls that are distracting or that we have to teach to.
Yeah.
We teach to the boys' brain, and I think it really is helpful. So I'm so glad for the question.
Yeah, Lori,
well,
thank you for that.
I have a couple more. I'm sorry. I have so many questions.
No, come on.
Go ahead.
Bring them.
What would, I mean, number one, do they all have to be Catholic to be enrolled there?
No, honey, they don't. We have, they have to know that we're Catholic, and they have to pray with us, have religion with us, and we have Eucharist or Mass every Friday. And they go to Mass with us. Last year we had 9 baptisms. We're not out to convert. I'm just out to be who we are. But we have.
That's the thing. This is the way to bring the converting these souls over.
Well, you know, and I learned from our boys from China. I was always wondering because they're Buddhists, and I have a great respect for Buddha and that what their expression is. But the parents say there they want them to come to St. Catherine's because they don't have a spirituality in China. And I don't think that's a judgment call. I just think that's their foundation is different. So the boys really do love, in fact, our choir and our chapel, there's 3 boys from China that came not knowing Jesus at all. And now they're choir in the Eucharist.
They're singing about him now.
They're singing about
him.
That's
beautiful.
Yeah.
That's great. Any other questions, Lori?
Yes, yes. So let me ask you, because of my children being in boarding school right now, what is like an infraction, so to speak, where a boy would be expelled. What would constitute a boy from being expelled from the St. Catharines?
That is a great question. It was on my list of questions I wanted to ask you, too.
Anything drug-related, anything, okay. if they intentionally hurt someone else, they're boys, you know, I got to get rid of, you know, they have their own way of expressing themselves, and I respect that. But anything that would be against any morality that we teach to them. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's two or three or four a year that it just doesn't fit for them. And sometimes it's just they just don't want to adhere to what we ask. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to force it on them. I mean, if they cannot do that, then I have to be careful because I have 169 other boys. So I want to be sure that they're all following the best they can, you know, and they want to be there. And most of the time we'll get things like, oh, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. And then when they go to graduate, they're crying and crying because they don't want to leave. Yeah. So it's that kind of a thing.
Exactly.
They have felt safe and secure.
So sister, do you have the sacraments there for the boys?
Yes, we do. Hun. Yeah. We have First Communion. Not confirmation. That's in the parishes. We have penance. And like I said, they go to Mass every Friday. And then we have adoration throughout the week. I open the chapel. We have a beautiful chapel, Lori. I'm hoping Peggy and Jimmy will come
and
visit.
Oh, we'll go visit for sure.
Beautiful, beautiful Dominican chapel. But, so we put we expose the Blessed Sacrament in adoration about three lunch times a week. So the boys eat, they come downstairs and spend maybe 5 or 10 minutes in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Not all of them. We don't force it. It's whoever wants to do that. Mm-hmm. So our Catholic identity is very strong, and it's all wrapped in the Dominican charism too. So it makes it even better.
So black and white? Is everything in black and white?
Yeah, if you could see me, I'm in black.
Sister's in black and white. But the boys wear military colors, don't they?
The boys wear military colors. So they have the khaki green suits, and then they have mint green shirts and black pants and stuff. Yeah.
So how do you survive? I mean, are you on donations? Are you getting compensated by the state or taxes or anything like that?
Nothing like that, honey. I ask for donations all the time. I'm always beating the bushes and visiting people. We started a program this year for the underserved in our Anaheim area. That's children that live in motels, or they live in high priority neighborhoods for gangs, or they live in Section 8 housing. They can't afford our education, but they sure deserve it. So we go out, and so a couple of years ago, I went out and just had lunch with everybody I could think of in Anaheim. So we raised almost $400,000. So now we have 14 boys in our school that some of them can live there instead of going back to motels or Section 8 housing. And our boys don't know who anybody is. They're all brothers. You know, they don't know where
they
come
from.
They
don't know the background.
They don't know any background. Yeah. We don't share that.
Boys aren't interested in that. It's like, come on, let's do this thing.
So our sisters own us. Our Mission San Jose Dominican sisters own us. But we're not a very wealthy congregation. We're good. We have tuition. And so sometimes we get our congregation will help us, and other people donate to us, too. So if you know of anybody that wants to come to a good school, Lori, give them my number.
Spread the word in Kansas. Topeka, Kansas. We're going to get a lot of enrollees from Topeka, Kansas.
Oh, I love it.
That's
my daddy's state.
Thank you, Lori. Thanks so much for calling.
I'll let you go. God bless you.
Thanks, Lori. God bless you, too, honey.
And, you know, Lori and our other listeners who are interested in knowing more about St. Catharines, you can go to their website, which is Take It Sister.
StCatharinesAcademy.org.
StCatharinesAcademy.org. Yeah, see, she had so many questions. So this is how the word's going to get out. Hey, we'd like to shout out a hello to some of our Facebook followers, Paolo, Michael, Francis, Camarina, and Jennifer. Thanks for watching on Facebook Live. Keep it up and ask us any questions you want through that medium. I also want to, at this point, take a little departure and make a mention about some really great resources that are available through EWTN's website, the podcast library, where you can go on and watch any show you want, listen to any show you want at any time. Just go to EWTN.com/podcast. It's kind of like audio on demand. Every show you want, it's all listed in alphabetical order. You know, because some of these shows aren't on at really convenient times to listen to. You know, too late, too early. So check it out, EWTN.com/podcast, and find some new favorite shows besides Call Me Catholic. But keep Call Me Catholic at the top of your list.
Yes, number one.
Yeah. Hey, so sister, what are some of your great success stories? Have you, at this point through St. Catharines Academy, had a chance to track the success of your graduating students and seen, you know, sort of a pattern in their lives as they mature into men?
You know, we've had thousands, and so we try that. We do. We had Archbishop Niederauer of San Francisco, who passed away within the last year. He graduated from St. Catharines. And every year, he would give us money at Christmas as the Archbishop. He always, he loved St. Catharines. It was the best experience of his life. We've had a lot of people in, a lot of great parents, a lot of great dads. Mexico, we have third and fourth generations coming back.
Yeah,
so,
wow. So that's just a success story
that
in itself.
That really is.
Yeah.
And we had one man come back, and this was just dear to my heart. A tall, tall, thin man, and elderly. And I came out of my office, and I saw him come in the door, and he looked at me, and he put his hands up like, don't come, you know, stop. And I said, well, welcome. And he stopped me again. So I thought, uh-oh, he probably had a bad experience. So I stepped to the side, and I waited, and he started to cry.
Oh.
And he stood there, and he said, Sister, I graduated 80 years ago. He said, I'm 94. And he said, nothing in my life has been more important to me than St. Catherine's Academy. And he said, I owe everything to this school, and I had to come back one more time. He died of cancer shortly after that. But he said, I had to come back one more time. So I just held him, and we cried together. And the boys gave him a rank and took him around the school and stuff, which was really dear. But he said, I wish people knew about this school. I said, what am I supposed to do, stand on my head? I said, it's on the web. We've got a great...
Don't compromise yourself, sis.
But I don't think people think Catholic schools have military traditions.
Well, and here's another thing, sister, that I'm just going to say, that the trend in public education is kind of the reverse of military. It's more indulgent in self-expression. Uh-huh. It's more accommodating all the individual differences among the students. And I understand that there are times when you need to address differences among students. But instead of sort of the common good, the common order, and I think that's where a lot of discipline in the classroom is starting to erode. So it's contra trend, and yet your success rate is so much more powerfully noticeable than in other aspects of education.
Thank you. I think we just have to have our focus where it should be, and that's on the boys.
And the spirituality, the spirituality that becomes woven into the fabric of education and lifestyle on the campus is definitely going to have, you know, a powerfully enduring impact on their life.
I had one boy stepped on my toe one time by accident. And I said, it's okay. And he stepped back and he got down to my foot. I said, get up. He said, I'm going to give your toe a blessing because I feel so bad.
That's a sweet sister. Got him right where you want him, sister. That's all I'm going to say. Hey, we have another caller with some questions for you. Welcome, Francis from California to Call Me Catholic. How are you, Francis?
Good, thank you. I just wanted to know if you have like summer camp or like short period, like, you know, a weekend retreat or something like that for the kids.
Yes.
Great question, Frances.
Yes, we do. We have retreats for the boys every year, but we do have a summer program. It's on our webpage. It starts the last Monday of June, I believe, or the second and the last. I don't have my dates, Frances. I'm sorry. But it's
four. You can find it on their website.
Yeah, you can. It's
okay.
It's a 4-week summer school program, summer camp program. So the morning has academics until about 11, and then we have swimming and that kind of thing for them. In the afternoon, it's trips or military, learning how to march or playing sports. And then at the end of that, we have what is called our leadership camp, and that takes place in San Luis Obispo, California. And that goes a week, and the boys learn just how to live out there and how to do fun things with high ropes and rock climbing and night.
Like an obstacle course kind of thing.
All that kind of thing.
Camp Pendleton.
It's really good. The boys love it. So we have two things, but you'll find that on our webpage.
Do you have some sons that might enjoy that, Francis?
I have grandchildren.
Great.
I have four grandchildren, but the oldest one is 9, but he's a wonderful kid. He wants to be a priest. He's an altar boy. He's a wonderful, wonderful kid. And so I just wanted to know what you have available because he's a leader for his brothers.
What part of California are you from, Francis?
We're in Palmdale.
Oh, okay.
So you're within reach, within the Southern California area?
Yes.
Well, thanks for your call, Francis, and check out their website.
What's your website?
StCatharinesAcademy.org.
And it's Catharines with a C.
And there's no apostrophe. That's St. Catharines. It's Catherine of Siena. So Catherines of Siena.
Okay. Thank you, sister.
Thank you. God bless, Francis.
God bless, Francis.
Bye-bye.
Hey, sister, what do you think are some of the most troubling behavior patterns that you see among boys? And I'm sure since the school was established, they're always different. Maybe thievery was a problem. Maybe language cursing was a problem. I mean, today we have all kinds of other influences that kind of get in and poison our behavior. So what are some of the most challenging patterns of behavior you see with boys right now?
You know, I think, I don't know quite how to say this, Peggy, but I think the boys come maybe not as prepared to be independent. Mm-hmm. I think our parents today are trying so hard to please them and to do what they want. And so they don't ever want the children, the boys sad or upset. And that's part of life.
So it's not the boys' problem, it's the parents' problem.
And it's not bad. I'm not against parents. I wouldn't. I'm not one. God knows I couldn't have done it. But I...
No,
but
she
I
just does it for 166 cadets on a regular basis.
But I think our parents, it would be good to help them with some education. Because I think they don't like it when they're told that the kids don't love them and they're not as good parents as other people. And I think the three of us in the room right now, if I said that my mother, she said, I don't care. You know, yeah. And I had most respect for my mom and dad because they really did.
We don't have to be friends.
No, they were parents to me. And when I grew up, they became friends, you know. Mm-hmm. So I want to do some education for parents. I want to help them see that they're called to be a parent, Catholic parent or otherwise. They're called to be a parent to help these kids grow and to be able to be independent from them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes boys come in and expect things from us. It's like, entitlement, and they don't get them with us. And mm-hmm. So that's a struggle for them sometimes. They learn, you know, they make their beds when they first get up in the morning, and they're done without a wrinkle in them.
I was going to say, can you bounce a nickel off
you can bounce a nickel. Yeah, okay. You can.
Hospital corners. I learned those too. Yeah. In fact, the other day I was making my bed, the guest bed up when my son was in town, and I said, have I ever shown you how to do a hospital corner? He said, no, I don't think you ever have, Mom. I don't think you could bounce a nickel off my maid beds. But so, sister, how do you deal with social media and the internet and cell phones and that kind of presence?
The boys at school do not have access to a cell phone or any social media.
Wow. Do you hear that, listeners? These are normal young boys that don't have access to a cell phone in their elementary school years.
They have their cell phone. Those that live with us, the 7-day residents, can have FaceTime with their parents on Friday and Saturday nights.
Okay.
And they can call them on their cell phone Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights. But not during the week. 5-day residents do not have the phone. And day students, if they bring a phone, they leave it in the front office. They have Chromebooks, so we are one-to-one technology. Mm-hmm. Blended learning is very important for us. But we have the Chromebooks because we don't want them to have so much access that gets them into trouble with other things. I know we need social media. But in the dorms, we took it out. We took out the games because the boys weren't talking to each other. Mm-hmm. It was all their thumbs, and their thumbs are going to be broken by the time they're 14. So they play Monopoly. They have Monopoly games going. They have Sorry games going.
Yeah. What's the board game that's kind of all sort of military aspect? What's that one? Strategio.
Oh, Strategio. I don't know about that. Yeah, I have to look at that. We have TVs. We have big screen TVs. They watch movies. They watch sports. We have a TV room downstairs during the day so the boys can watch the sports games and stuff if they want to do that. But the main thing we want them to do is get outside if it's nice and do some good exercise. So,
do you think every young boy is a candidate for your school? Or would you say that some are not cut of that cloth?
I'm sure some are not, only because they have their own special needs that maybe we can't help them with. But I think every boy should be able to try our school. You know, I just really do, because we had 8 boys come from other Catholic schools in the diocese. The principals are very supportive. And if they have a boy that's not making in a large classroom or whatever, they have to let him go,
mm-hmm.
but they don't want him to go. They want him to stay in the Catholic system. So they'll call me, and we've had 8. They all graduated beautifully.
Mm.
It's just the structure they needed and the smaller class.
Let's talk a little bit in our closing comments about Sister John Ellen Turner. How did you get to this spot where you are, you know, the principal of such an impressive and unique school in California for boys? What, first of all, drew you to the Dominican order? Did you enter as a young woman?
Those are all good questions.
Just got about 30 seconds left, sister. No.
I graduated after high school, Sacred Heart High School, and I entered.
So you were taught by the Dominicans?
I was, yes. Mm-hmm. And so I went, and I wasn't real sure, honestly. I knew it was something that I was being pushed towards, but I didn't feel I was... had a boyfriend at the time and was looking at another dimension of my life. But anyway, sure. I did enter. I'm very, very grateful to our sisters 52 years ago they accepted me. And I never thought I'd be a teacher, ever.
Oh, really?
I didn't know what I'd be. I was just going to be a sister.
Well, the Dominican order works with children, though.
They
do. So you knew
and
that
they,
was
but we have a lot of different, we have mm-hmm. hospital ministry and different things and chaplain ministry. But so all of a sudden I was moved in that direction and I was thinking, what's going to happen? And pretty soon I was put into teaching, and I taught for about 5 or 6 years, and then the congregation asked me to be a principal, and I said, what's the matter with you? And then they didn't like that response. But anyway.
Well, you were bumped right up.
No, quickly. So anyway, so I have been the principal of 5 different schools. I worked in the Diocese of Oakland in the school department for a number of about 4 years. And then I was on our leadership team for our congregation and sitting around trying to find who was going to go into the principalship of St. Catherine's. And I'm looking through names, and all of a sudden all the eyes were on me. I said, what? And they said, would you take it? So that's how I got here. We're assigned.
Yeah.
So we don't look for jobs so much.
But this was very unique. This particular assignment as principal is different from the other places where you've been.
Yeah, it was. And I had the privilege of being director of our schools for a while, all 22 mm-hmm. of them. So I would visit. So I knew St. Catherine's. But it was very different. But, you know, I remember standing by the door, looking out onto Harbor Boulevard and saying to the Lord, if you really want this to be open, then you're going to have to give me the energy because we have a lot to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think that the program that you have laid out for us and for our listeners is indisputably a powerful model for what we need in the world today and for our young men. You know, what would be something comparable that you would suggest for girls' education?
You know, I don't know of it, girls' elementary, but we do have a girls' high school in Los Angeles, Flint Ridge Sacred Heart Academy.
Oh, okay.
And we also have Immaculate Conception Academy in San Francisco. And we're working out of San Gabriel Mission High School, Sacred Heart High School. So the elementary part for girls, I don't know. I think they're out of the country, actually.
Okay.
Maine may have one, but I think they're out of the country.
Okay. Well, your focus is boys. And so I want, in closing, sister, if you haven't on the top of your head, to offer the Dominican blessing that I know you say on a regular basis.
To.
Yeah,
thank
at
you.
The school. So please.
Thank you so much. And I extend it to all of you who are out there. St. Dominic taught us this 801 years ago, so. May God, Creator, bless you. May God, Redeemer, heal you. And may God, the Holy Spirit, fill you with light. Amen.
Amen.
And thank you, Peggy and Jimmy, so much. I'm so happy to have been with you today.
Thank you, sister.
It is an unspeakable honor. I have to thank a shout out to some friends of mine, David and Amy Zach, who introduced mm-hmm. me to you. And they said, this woman is so wonderful. You have to have her on your show. And so I thank them for introducing me to you because you did not disappoint, sister. God bless you and keep you in this ministry for as
thank
long
you.
As you,
thank you
have
so much.
The health and energy to enjoy it all. Hey, listeners, you know to stay tuned for The Good Fight, 2 hours of great conversation with Barbara McGuigan. She will be continuing her conversation with Father Spitzer today. But mostly, we want you to tune in again next week, same day, same time, for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I'm Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.